When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Eric's.
Yeah. We got him screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got him screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We a number one spot, fresh from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We a number one spot.
Let's go, baby. We in here. Come on, man. It's game day. One more time. Welcome in here to the Thursday, December 19th edition of D-Lo and KC. Listen to a little Christmas music for the first time this holiday season. I haven't really.
Are you a big Christmas music guy?
I'm not. Nah, it's I got about, let's see, today's the 19th. You could get me for a solid 6 days and then I'm out.
That's good for it. One day, I think. We played Christmas music last week. That's good enough.
Oh, you're out now.
Yeah.
See, but my Christmas music is like a little, like, some of the Boys to Men Christmas songs just sound like love songs.
Gotcha,
but it's like, yeah, who would have thought I'd fall in love on Christmas Day? Like, it's a love song, but they throw the word Christmas in there, and all of a sudden it's on their Christmas album. But I have a playlist of records that I go to every year, Stevie Wonder, Luther Vandross, all of that, DMX singing, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and all of that, and yeah, it'll get some run. Today was the first day I pulled it up on the walk. I'm like, I'm vibing. Can't say I've really been in the Christmas spirit, but I think between the playlist and De'Aaron's dual Christmas trees, I'm in the mood now. I'm ready for December 25th to get here. I also think it's different. Like, do you and Crystal make a big deal out of?
Like Christmas?
Yeah. Like, is Christmas a big thing in your family?
Yeah.
Or holidays a big thing in your family?
Yeah. Okay. We'll be doing something with her side of the family on the 23rd, then we'll be with my side on the 24th, and then we'll do like our own thing at the apartment on the 25th.
Okay. Like, you've got.
No, yeah. Christmas is
days.
Big. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's all a whole thing, plan it out. All right. What are we doing this day? Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's not a thing in my family, like, at all. Like, we completely blew off, like, Thanksgiving. It's like, hey, what are we doing?
Thanksgiving is falling off in my family too, though.
It was like, what are we doing Thursday? I don't know. Like, my sister didn't want to drive up here because she had something going on Monday. I was like, oh yeah, I got to work, run to feed the hungry that morning. All right, we don't really need to do anything. We'll just reconvene at Christmas. All right, so I hit up my sister. And it's like, Christmas is like 6 days away. Like, what do you want to do? And so I think we just formulated our plan on what we're going to do because I have a very small family and holidays just aren't a big deal. Like, her kids are, you know, my niece is 16. My nephew's like 20. And then I don't have any. So it's
Thanksgiving and like really Christmas are the only holidays you really plan for, too, I think. I mean, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think some people plan Easter.
Yeah, I was gonna say that might be the other one.
Yeah, but yeah, you're right. Those are the two. Those are the two, and they were like 4 days apart this year. It feels like.
Yeah.
I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover.
He's Kenny Caraway, and he's on his way.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
The worst slums. I think I might have determined where the worst slums of Sacramento are, and it might be the Golden 1 Center. Because so far this year, nothing good happens at the Golden 1 Center. At least, not for the Sacramento Kings. And it's not off to a great start either with the injury report coming out that Kevin Huerter, Keegan Murray, Domas, they're all listed as questionable with various ailments headed into tonight's game against the Los Angeles Lakers. Of course, it's the Kings' second matchup against the Los Angeles Lakers. They played the second game of the season. That's when LeBron scored 100 straight points. And the Kings, man, I was talking to James and Kyle a minute ago about what a microcosm of the season that Denver Nuggets game was. Man, you could look back at that Los Angeles Lakers game, the second game of the season, as a telltale sign of, yo, this is what the season's going to be. Like, think about it. Kings played well. LeBron, Lakers, went on a run. I think it was a 21-0 run, if I remember correctly. Kings respond. Anthony Davis hits a clutch three. Kings wind up losing. The story is the same throughout the year. You just change some of the names. Minnesota, get a big lead. De'Aaron Fox goes crazy. Anthony Edwards hits a clutch three. Kings go home losers. You could do that with San Antonio. You could run through the Kings schedule and do that a variety of different times. Games just like that Lakers game. Hell, the first game against the Timberwolves was like that. The game one of the season was like that. Playing well. Timberwolves make a run. Kings recover. Lose a close game. I think that's been the most frustrating part about this season. I think that's been the most frustrating part about this season in a season that's had a lot of frustrating parts to it. This team was supposed to be really good in the clutch. That's where they were supposed to excel. That's where they were supposed to be better than everybody else. That's where the addition of DeMar DeRozan was supposed to mean the most. Ooh, you got the two most clutch scorers in the league on the same team? You got the two guys who get all them fourth quarter points on the same squad? Yeah, and what was the stat? They're 3-9 in those clutch games. I mean, that's why when you look at the stat that they'll put up on the screen, inevitably if the game is, you know, in a clutch time situation, like De'Aaron has, I think the graphic last game was like 60-something clutch time points, which was like 10 more than everybody else. Which is like, oh, that's dope. But all it really means is the Kings have been in a ton of close games. And more consequently, at least in the idea of De'Aaron Fox being clutch or the Kings being clutch, they're 3-9 in those games. Obviously, that doesn't fall exclusively on De'Aaron Fox. That's not fair. But it does make those clutch time baskets, it does make that clutch time graphic that they look to put up on the screen a little hollow. That don't mean nothing. Win. And this team can't win close games right now. And there's also a level of like, okay, Huerter, Keegan, and Domas are dealing with something. We don't know if they're all going to be ruled out, or if they're all going to be ruled in, or some combination of them are going to be out and in, whatever. We don't know any of that yet. But it's also like, man, God, they have gotten their ass whooped by injuries. Like Trey Lyles, like I didn't even mention Trey Lyles there. Like Trey, so remember earlier this week, I think it was on Monday, Mike Brown said, yeah, like, Trey's getting close. He's not going to play tonight versus Denver. And I don't even think he's going to play the next game. Well, this is the next game. The next game is tonight. It's Thursday. It's the Lakers. And Trey seemed to think he could be able to give it a go. Not even give it a go, like, oh, I'm going to go out there and give it a try. He sounded like he'd be able to play. So you have a team dealing with that, guys in and out of the lineup. We keep talking about the bench and finding the right rotation, finding the guys to contribute, finding the guys who can make an impact. Well, I'm not trying to stall them out. Like, yo, you've got to be not next man up, but you've got to be ready when your number's called. And some of these guys don't know when their number's going to be called because they don't know who's playing that night. I mean, how many games this season have the Kings truly played healthy? Like, Malik missed the chunk. Then you had that stretch without DeMar. Then that stretch without DeMar and Domas. You just have these guys. You have some component. And, of course, then you got Trey Lyles, who's dealing with his second injury since training camp started. Like, you've got the odds against you. You're dealing with a lot of frustration in that moment if you're Mike Brown. You're dealing with a lot of frustration in that moment if you're the Sacramento Kings. Then you've got the Los Angeles Lakers. Those Los Angeles Lakers, you feel like, yeah, they really haven't been much better. The difference between them is they're 14-12. And man, does it feel like it is different to navigate some frustrating waters two games above 500 rather than a game below 500. And I could be 1,000% wrong, but it feels like the story of tonight's game could be De'Aaron Fox. Not because of anything that De'Aaron Fox has done or hasn't done, but what Mike Brown did. Bartender Ham, serve it up. These are cranberry apple old fashions. Cranberry old fashions. Salute. Cheers, everybody. Oh, that's good. That's a good look, Hammer. Appreciate you. Yeah, we're in that mode where we just drink now on Thursdays because, like, Christmas is 6 days away. And there are way more people in the building than I expected.
I was going to say, people are working. Like, I just turned around. I saw, like, three people. That's usually more
than... Which is crazy because Karosh is right there. Wesley's right there. Like, there's people here. Of course, tomorrow's going to be a different story.
I'm excited for Monday.
Not only are people here, but... our man is here.
Monday we might do the show in Studio 6.
Well, I mean, look, everybody's here saying their goodbyes for 2024.
That's a shoot. The amount of emails that have gone out. So-and-so will be, and by the way, we're not absolved of this. We were on that email, too.
We made it.
If you need something for D'Lo and KC, you bitches better tell them now, because speak now, forever hold your peace.
When we first started, we'll be here Christmas morning. D'Lo and KC.
Danny in San Francisco. Hey, you guys want to do a pregame show? You guys want to do a 9-hour show on Christmas Day to cover these NBA games?
8-hour Christmas special.
Yeah. Hey, what kind of sweater you got on today? That's nice. That's really nice.
Nice little cream sweater.
No, I didn't ask the color.
Hey, KC, what's the brand of that sweater? I would like to go and see if I can purchase it.
What does that have to do with anything?
I'm just asking questions. Why are you so defensive? It's very nice.
Yeah.
And I think people would like to know. What type of... That's a gorgeous sweater.
First of all, the radio audience doesn't even know what sweater I have on, so they don't like to know.
Excuse me, I paint pictures with words, sir.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's true.
And that's what I'm doing now. So, again... Look, I'm just trying to show out my guy a little love. Won't accept it. What kind of sweater is that?
We won't go to break, Kenny.
It's just a nice little off-white, you know, sweater. You know what I mean?
Brand, not off-white the color. Off-white
both,
brand. Actually, both. Both. Yeah, salute.
Didn't you have one on the other day?
This isn't about me.
Facts.
This isn't about
didn't
me.
I'm asking you. Didn't he have one on
I barely the remember 20 minutes ago.
See? Come on, man.
Yo, this guy be switching up more than anybody I know. One day he's on my side. The next day he's hitting me with the steel chair.
I play both sides. I never lose.
Matt George will be with us in the final hour of the show. You'll hear our conversation with Ice Cube coming up near the top of the 3 o'clock hour. That was a lot of fun. And Deuce Mason returns to the show. Deuce of the Deuce and Moe podcast, NBC Sports California, joining us on a game day. He'll be with us coming up at about 1:45. Most of all, we're happy you're here with us. We're just getting started. Lots to talk about here with D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Just breaking down WrestleMania 1 over here, that's all.
And I said he doesn't have any, descriptive moments. That's a pretty big one.
Well, he's in the main event of WrestleMania 1, yeah. He did have the, we're talking about Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, because of course, why wouldn't we be?
Might be one of the best ways we ever came back from break. Yeah, we're talking about Mr. Wonderful, yeah.
I know I'm biased. This show is hilarious. This show is legit funny.
Who just
come back from commercial, and we're talking about Mr. Wonderful.
Who has done that in the last 15 years?
Kings Lakers tonight. We're talking about Mr. Wonderful.
Mr. Wonderful's family hasn't talked about Mr. Wonderful.
He had the thing I remember most, obviously he had the main event at WrestleMania 1, but he had that Saturday night's main event with Hulk Hogan, where they did the steel cage match, and they filmed it to where they hit the floor at the same exact time. So when you're escaping over the top, and it was like, oh, it's a draw. You got to restart the match. And they're saying, oh, you know, they had the evil referee who was like, Paul Orndorff is the new champion. And, you know, the good guy referee, Joey Morello, was like, no, Hulk Hogan is the champion. And then, no, just restart the match. Hogan gets the win, beats up Bobby Heenan, and everybody goes to sleep.
And then everybody was happy.
Yeah.
Speaking of, real quick, before we get to Kings Lakers, I saw a wrestling on this day. I think it was on this day, or maybe it was just a memory. But do you remember when the fan climbed the steel cage and got in the ring as one of the WCW pay-per-views was going off?
No, I don't think I remember.
Was that Piper versus Hogan?
Yeah, Piper's handcuffed to the steel cage. Guy, fan, climbs the steel cage, gets in, and Hogan gives him a couple.
I feel like they edited that out of the network.
They might have, but they were on the air because Shivani was like, oh, there's a fan in there, and this fan is getting destroyed. He's getting destroyed. Oh, somebody's got to get him out of there.
Did you ever see the clip where Triple H came back from the dead at a house show to beat up the fan?
Oh, yeah, because he jumped Stone Cold,
He went after Stone Cold, and Triple H, who's selling like, you know, selling like a pro, sees the guy come in and immediately jumps and just... The worst one was the guy who pushed Eddie off the ladder.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that.
I think that was on... I know our friend is listening. He'll text us. It was either on Raw... Or it might have been on the Dominic on a pole match. I can't remember which one it was, but
the fan
runs in and he pushes Eddie off of the ladder, but Eddie lands on his feet and he stares at that dude, and then the ref comes over and then they.
That's crazy.
And everyone
pushing
to this day
him off
is like,
the ladder is crazy.
He's like, if Eddie had reacted a smidge bit quicker, that guy probably would have been dead. Eddie would have killed him.
Yeah.
Eddie would have killed him.
Because Hogan. Everybody, yeah, y'all saw the same clip on Twitter last night. I saw it. I had never seen it before. And
it was on Raw. It was versus RVD for the IC title.
That's crazy. Shout out
you know,
down south.
Yeah.
But yeah, Hogan, they weren't, that's the term, they weren't pulling any punches.
No,
I think Macho Man kicked him in the ribs. They got to beat his ass. Then the officials came in.
Remember the overweight fan who jumped in when the NWO was forming and Kevin Nash? Kevin Nash just kicked the crap out of him. It's just a fat guy. Just laying like belly out, like little shorts on. I just trying to get in because Hulk Hogan turned on him and Kevin Nash just kicking the crap out of him.
Stomped him out of the ring.
Still real to me, damn it.
Guys, don't cross the barricade. Jesus Christ, don't jump the barricade. Oh, man.
And then the old wrestler. I think it was Dusty in that clip, and the Shivani's like, oh, they're beating the hell out of this fan. And Dusty goes, as they should, get them.
Get them, baby. Megan Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
Zero brings it up in the chat. Bret Hart getting tackled at the Hall of Fame thing was wild.
Wait, I don't think I...
Oh, you never saw that?
Are you serious?
Oh, that's crazy. Yo.
It was on, like, on video, too. Like, on camera.
It was live. Like, this...
Who tackled him?
Some fan.
Yeah, he's standing at the podium.
So it's when they started doing the Hall of Fame thing in the ring. All of the ropes are down, and this fan comes in, and Bret turns his head just in time. The fan tackles Bret. I don't know who got up there and pulled the guy off, and I'm sure beat the hell out of him.
I did kind of see this.
And then shout out to Bret. This might be Bret's greatest moment. Bret gets up and goes, I think that guy was part of the clique. Yeah, that was crazy.
I do vaguely remember that. That is crazy. That happened. Hall of Fame. They should have beat his ass.
Yeah, that's wild. I'm looking back at some of these on this day. These are crazy. Mm. The Fabulous Hulk Hogan. Wow. All right. Oh,
shout out to the Brody too,
wild.
Man. Always checking us out, man. Shout out to the Brody, man. That's love.
Oh yeah, that's our guy. That's our guy always. I was thinking about something on the heels of De'Aaron and Mike Brown, Draymond Green show. De'Aaron's future.
This has gotten real nefarious since the debut of that show. Like,
yeah.
At first, I was just kind of like, oh, he's on the show.
Yeah.
He's saying whatever. And in the last 24
hours. It's because
hours,
they're struggling. Yeah. It's because they're not playing well.
Mike's comments have,
yeah,
like, yeah, all of it. It's, oh, I was like, okay, I didn't see it that way.
I don't think Mike's comments had to do with the podcast. I think Mike's podcast had to do with the game.
I
think De'Aaron was slow to get involved in that Denver Nuggets game. And that's not something we talked about Monday because he had a strong finish. And that, like, there are times where it feels like, and it's not like I think he took in the first quarter, obviously they're down 20. I think he took 5 or 6 shots. Mm-hmm. It's not like he wasn't doing anything. Mm-hmm. Like he was playing, the shot just wasn't falling for him. And it felt like he fell back a little bit. And then he started to get more aggressive. Obviously that run starts to happen in the second quarter, but it's probably a reach, but it's fresh on the mind. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask. I'm going to steal a line out of the Kenny Caraway 49ers season autopsy. Is everybody on the Sacramento Kings focused on winning?
It's interesting you say that.
Because it's not just De'Aaron. So Jesse's got a look on his face. We asked if Kevin Huerter would be able to adjust to moving to the bench. Mm-hmm. That's not a question we should ask if we believe everybody's focused on winning, right?
100%.
Too much? Am I reaching?
Well, so I'm going to tell you why it's interesting that you say that and that you feel that way. Because I'm listening to the insiders like I do.
Great show.
You know what I mean? Great show. And our guy James Hamm, who didn't bring me an old fashioned, but that's a whole nother discussion.
Might have been. Yeah.
It's all good.
James!
Like, we've seen how you drink, though. You take it on one sip.
That was crazy that wasn't a shot. But
that was pretty wild.
But, you know, he talks about, like, you know, De'Aaron. And like I said, it's we're, like, really getting into the weeds with what is going on in the last 24 hours with the interview, with Mike Brown, with what it meant, with, you know, who's saying what and all this other stuff. And he brings up, you know, the possibility that De'Aaron Fox is – looking at this like, hey, man, this is a big year for me. I'm trying to get paid. Need to make all NBA and all this other stuff, right? And that's this. James is saying that, not saying it as facts, but like these are possibilities. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thought I had. I said, well, what the hell are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? Beam Team 1 worked because everybody in that locker room had a vested interest in needing to win. Like, maybe it was a perfect storm. Maybe it was something that doesn't happen all the time. But everybody that was in that locker room needed to be part of a winning team.
Mm-hmm.
Or else their money wouldn't be right. Their legacy wouldn't be right. questions around the league would be popping up about who they are as individuals, players, coaches, all this other stuff. Winning was number one for whatever reason it was. Winning was number one for everybody on that team. And there was no worrying about nothing. Coming off the bench, starting, minutes, finishing, all this other stuff. And they were successful. Then the next year, it's like, all right, well, I'm in a contract year, or I'm not coming off the bench now, or, you know, all NBA or whatever the case may be. And it's funny you say that. I wonder. Do I think winning is the most important thing for everybody in that locker room? No.
So let's this sucks. But let's do this anyways. Do you think winning is the most important thing for Domantas Sabonis?
Yes.
So do I. Do you think the winning is the most important thing for DeMar DeRozan?
Yes.
So do I. Is winning the most important thing for Malik Monk?
Yes.
Same. Is winning the most important thing for De'Aaron Fox?
I'm going to say yes. I'll explain it a little bit. In that interview, now he could have been lying, but I'm going to take him at his words. In that interview with Draymond Green, he has the line, I can get money anywhere. Right? So if it's money, and I know we talked a little bit yesterday about it's different. If you get all NBA and you're with the team, you get more money. That's a
correct.
It's a big difference.
I do want to point out it's also different if you leave.
That's right. That's right.
The money is not the same if you leave.
But the reason why I bring that
up. On your own, I should say. If you leave on your own.
Right. The reason why I bring that up is he says I can get money anywhere. Where, like, I think he's aware of all that stuff, right? Like, he's aware that if I leave, I'm not going to get as much money here in Toronto or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or I'm not going to get the same if I don't make all NBA and I leave, the money's different or whatever. That statement tells me he's saying, I'm going to get money. Like, that's not the issue. Like, I'm certified, verified. I know there is a huge difference between, I'm just throwing out a number, $250 million and $175 million. I understand there's a huge difference between that, but worst case scenario, I got $175 million from somewhere. And I probably got another $100 million contract down the road after this one. I'm going to get money anywhere. I need to know that we're committed to winning. So I understand why you asked the question. I understand why you sequenced the question the way you did. But I'm gonna choose to take him at his word, and when he said I can get money anywhere, and say yes, winning is more important than that or the accolades for him right now.
I think he's focused on winning, but I think he's also like thinking about his future too. So there's the aspect of, hey, if we don't make the playoffs this year, then things are gonna probably change. And I feel like missing playoffs last year honestly hurt this team so bad, because that wasn't supposed to be part of the plan, I think.
It tied
up your picks and all that, like, moves supposed to be made. Like, there was no progress made, and now you're at a point where it's kind of feels like the way we've been talking over the last month, it's kind of do or die at this point. If you don't make the playoffs, then who knows what's going to happen.
The interesting thing about Fox's situation and all these other guys' situation as well.
Like, if you make playoffs last year, maybe we're not having these conversations this year, too.
Facts.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about Fox, and even if we had, like, nefarious thoughts about it or whatever, like, winning is in his best interest of what may be his number one priority.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they literally go hand in hand in this situation. If you win,
yeah,
you get everything. This isn't, I don't know, Luka or something like that. Like, Luka can miss the playoffs, have 30 points a game, and still make All-NBA and qualify for whatever. Like, he doesn't have to win to get what's going on. Even it helped, I guess. But Jaylen Brown, a couple years ago, didn't have to win a championship to really be considered for all NBA. It was whatever. Like, he could win his normal rate, and as long as he put up his numbers, he was going to be qualified for all NBA. Yeah. De'Aaron has to win for that money to be at its maximum.
Yeah.
We all believe.
Right. Man. De'Aaron, I don't know any other way to phrase this, and this sucks because this is going to sound terrible, but I'll attempt to explain it. Sometimes I think De'Aaron talks like a player he's not yet. His game should quantify him as one of the very best players in the entire league. Mike Brown said yesterday he's on the verge of being a superstar. How many years has De'Aaron Fox been on the verge of being a superstar? Because it didn't start yesterday.
I'm going to put a number on it. I said at least three.
At minimum, it's been 3 years since at bare minimum. It's been, the Prize Picks bet would be 3.5 on the number of years that De'Aaron Fox has been on the verge of being a superstar. How long can you be on the verge? And what's keeping him from taking that leap over to superstardom? This is a player who's currently averaging 26.2 points per game. This is a player that averaged 26.6 per game last year. This is a player that averaged 25 points per game, won the inaugural Clutch Player of the Year award when his team broke the playoff drought 2 years ago. Yet with him, it constantly feels like there's something missing. And I feel like the reason for that is he shows you time and time again what he can be. This isn't, and I understand what James was trying to say yesterday. This isn't about him scoring 60 every night. This isn't about him scoring 49 every night. It's about doing that when you have to. Of all of the things Mike Brown said yesterday, the thing that I think is the most important and the most telling is you can't let go when everyone else lets go. If everyone else is falling apart, you can't. Why? Because LeBron James doesn't. Because Luka Doncic doesn't. Because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander doesn't. Because Dame, Giannis, Jokic, and all of these players in the top realm of the NBA that are considered superstars don't. You can't either. That's what you're missing. This isn't about yelling. This isn't about pounding your chest. This isn't about rah-rah. This isn't about none of that. This is about recognizing when your team is crumbling, you have to be the one to do it. It shouldn't be DeMar DeRozan. It shouldn't be the guy who's been in Sacramento for 3 months. It should be you. DeMar is established. DeMar gets traded tomorrow. His career moves on. He's a Hall of Famer when it's all over. De'Aaron still, at his age, at his skill set, has something to prove to this league. De'Aaron is flirting with man, what could De'Aaron really have been? Not in the same way that Derrick Rose was. Not at all. But in a way that, man, it felt like he was on the verge. I don't want people to talk about De'Aaron Fox like, man, you remember what he did against the Warriors in that playoff series? That was the jaw step. That was everything we talked about for years had been set up. When De'Aaron hits that stage, he's going to excel. When he hits that stage, he's going to show out. And he's going to do what Ja Morant did. Ja Morant did the same thing. Ja Morant was having a fantastic season. Got to the playoffs and looked like a superstar. De'Aaron Fox had a fantastic season. Got to the playoffs, looked like a superstar. That was the last time we saw De'Aaron Fox look like a superstar. Not for a single game. Hell, not even for two stretches. For a month, because that first round series went on for a goddamn month. That was the last time we saw De'Aaron Fox look like a NBA superstar.
Well, I mean, perfectly said.
Good night, everybody.
The other thing about that is I think one of the reasons why we keep asking this of De'Aaron Fox, which to a certain degree, like when we think about it, is, I don't want to say it's unfair, but it's like, damn, like we talked a year ago, 2 years ago, how many more damn steps does he need to take? This guy's averaging 26 points a night for back-to-back seasons.
That's right.
Like top 10 scorer in the NBA back-to-back seasons. It's easy to say, and it doesn't mean it's wrong, but it's easy to say, winning is the next component. You have to win. You have to be a playoff player consistently to get that type of respect. But I look at De'Aaron Fox, and I'm thinking about it in my head, and maybe it's different because we see him on a nightly basis, or he plays for my favorite team. Maybe I'm biased. I don't think so. I think I'm keeping it a stack. I think one of the things with De'Aaron Fox is we look at De'Aaron Fox and we say he can be better than all these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little like tweak to his mentality and adjustment, and he'll be better than all of these guys.
Yeah,
he'll be better than Ja. He'll be clearly better than Jalen Brunson. He'll be better than a Trae Young.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be better than he's got. I was thinking about this today. He's got all the tools. He plays on a level and has a skill level that these other guys don't possess.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about Ja Morant. Ja can jump. Ja can score. He's explosive. He can't defend the way De'Aaron Fox does.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Brunson, he can score. He's crafty. Mm-hmm. He knows how to play the game. He's not the athlete De'Aaron Fox is.
De'Aaron Fox is one of the best defending point guards in the entire league, if not the best.
He can be better than all of these guys. Mm-hmm.
Facts.
And we sit up here and we look, and he's really good, but we're like, man, you could be more. Which is kind of crazy,
but you know,
to a certain degree, but it's the truth.
You know the thing that drives me crazy, though, about De'Aaron sometimes, and I think this is magnified by that podcast, he talks like he is.
Mm.
Like he, when you talk about mentality, Fox has it. He just doesn't always execute it.
Mm-hmm.
Fox talks like, and he doesn't say this, but the way I can get a bucket anytime I want to.
Mm-hmm.
I could do this, I could do that. Bruh. You're right. So why don't you? You say you get a bucket anytime you want to. What'd you take 4 mid-range shots for when you're 1 of 5 and your team's down 18, 19, 20, 21? You get a shot anytime you want to. Go get it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what drives me crazy about him is everything he said in the Fox interview, in the Draymond interview, everything he's ever said in any interview he's ever been in, is 100% accurate.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't always execute it.
There's something that it's like a fine line, right? Like between doing too much and being accountable and being realistic of it. And De'Aaron Fox, and who knows? I haven't talked to De'Aaron Fox. He may think about
you ain't gonna talk about it now.
The same way. Well, I don't think we said anything wrong about him.
I don't know
or anything bad about him, but. De'Aaron, I would love to see him take on the mentality of it's all on me. It's all on me. And I'm a big believer of that type of mindset. It's all on me. Regardless of what happens. If we fail, it's not Monty's fault.
Mm.
It's not my supporting cast. It's me. I didn't figure out a way to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
If we fail, it's on me. There's a flip side to that. RIP. If we succeed, it's me. I'm the straw that stirs the drink. I'm the one. Yeah, we got ancillary pieces around me who help me. I can't do it by myself, but it's because of me. That's the mentality it has to. And sometimes that could bleed into like a selfish mindset. You got to be careful with it. But you got to understand, like people get on LeBron all the time about like how he goes about things. We joke about the coaches and trading players and all this other stuff. I think it's because LeBron knows, look, it's on me regardless. If we fail, it's going to be my fault. If we succeed, it's going to be on me. So I might as well like take the bull by the horns and get the people in here I want. Play the way I want to. Because nobody, if it goes bad, nobody's going to say, well, you know, LeBron's doing all he can. They're going to blame LeBron.
Mm.
So LeBron is like, all right, I'm going to lean into this. I want De'Aaron to lean into this whole thing is on me. If we don't make it, it's because of me. If we make it, I'm the straw that stirs the drink.
All right. Speaking of drinks, I think I'm just going to go get some more old-fashioned because that's pretty much what it requires.
Shout out to my man Elias, man. He put me on the old fashions, man. I didn't really start drinking them until he started making them at the little get together. Shout out to my man E.
We'll come back. Let's look at the trade market. I thought more about Trista's trade proposal, and I thought about something you said yesterday. And I think it's ridiculous.
Uh-oh.
I'll explain.
Okay, I want to hear this.
Stilo and Casey on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Just say what you just said.
Is this team any better if it's Donovan Mitchell instead of De'Aaron Fox leading them?
The one frustration that I have, that maybe everybody has, everybody said it, and it separates Fox from a guy like Donovan Mitchell, is the constant aggression, the constant ruthless.
Sorry.
I was thinking it too.
Mm-hmm.
But the constant foot on the gas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I don't know De'Aaron possesses. And that is something that, to answer your question, roundabout way I answer your question, I think they might be in a little bit better spot if Donovan was here. Because Donovan gonna push it. Donovan's almost like I talked about before the break. He's like, if we don't make it, it's not gonna be because I didn't shoot 28 times. Or I didn't just keep going to the bucket till I got to the foul line. And all, like, we gonna go at this till the wheels fall off.
So is that essentially what De'Aaron's just missing then at this point?
I think.
Because I think, like, trying to listen to this conversation, I'm trying to figure it out, but it's like, he has the numbers and all that. He's mm-hmm. missing the winning, but is he just missing that aggression where it's just like Tatum, Luka, SGA, whoever, those top tier, even Donovan Mitchell, I guess, just they're going to affect the game because that's just this is what they do.
Can De'Aaron take a game over, like truly own it?
Yes. Yes, he can. We've seen it. He can.
Consistently?
I don't know. That's not in his – that hasn't been – shown to be his in his nature to consistently,
you know, what the crazy thing is, the 12 and 13, what's the record?
13 and 14.
Jesus. The 13 and 14. This isn't De'Aaron's fault. We've been talking about De'Aaron Fox for 2 days. And I don't think this 13 and 14 falls squarely on his shoulders.
Absolutely not.
And but you know, it's the heavy is the head, right? He mm-hmm. he very literally wears the crown.
Mm-hmm.
He is, man, if he's not yet, he is approaching the greatest player to ever wear a Kings uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And with that comes a lot of expectations.
Yeah.
And
you gotta find a way. And like I said, De'Aaron Fox, like, one of the best players soon, if you know, however long he stays, will be the best player in the franchise's history. You know, people don't talk about it this way, but he can see the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
He can see it. Mm-hmm. He's 25, 26 mm-hmm. years old, and you see what's going on, and no disrespect, but you see some of the people that are in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, De'Aaron Fox can see, like, hey, there's the road right there for me to go to the Hall of Fame. I can mm-hmm. see it. The difference with him is always the constant aggression. When he turns up, he's got it all. He's got it all. But there's too many times when he just kind of floats. There was, like, even a game like the Nets game. The Nets game here,
mm-hmm.
he was dominant. Like, they couldn't stop him, and he might have had 30 something points. I think he had like
31.
He had like 9 assists,
five
assists. I kept missing all his assists, and wow. I was still nice. Like, I was like watching. I remember watching the game, and I was like, "Hey, man, you just have the ball every time. Just have it every time you make the decision. Stop passing to these guys. Like, just do you." And he was just, he would kind of weave through the defense, and sometimes he shoot it, sometimes he make the right play and kick it out and all this other stuff. And it was just real cruise control. It wasn't dominant. And they ended up losing, right? And I feel like if he would just would have dominated, get to the line, shoot your mid-range, do all this, get to the bucket, maybe that game is different. And that's tough to say, right? Because he had 31 points and he was dominant, right? Yeah. Or he was
10
he
of
was
16.
Really good. Mm-hmm. He was really good. But 10, give me 17 to 26.
So again, man, you talk about Kings lost that game 108-103. They missed 11 free throws. They took 31. They missed 11 free throws. Again, we're talking about De'Aaron Fox. And it's like, yeah, okay, if De'Aaron had done this, if De'Aaron had done that, 11 missed free throws in that game against Brooklyn. Mm. Not it. De'Aaron missed four of them. Can't absolve him of that. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron missed four of them. But this isn't exclusively a De'Aaron Fox issue. But again, when you're talking about the guy,
it's different.
Yeah, it's different.
It's different. And a lot of the times it's unfair, 100%. But he's got to find a way. He's got to find a way, whatever it calls for that night. Like that night, it probably called for you to shoot 26 times, not 16. So maybe that's not exactly how you want to play. I don't think that's how De'Aaron wants to play. He said it. You know, some people talk about like his starts to the games and stuff like that. And he said, I don't know if it's on wax or, you know, through people that we know, he's like, I want to make sure everybody else gets going because I can get going at any time. Mm-hmm. But as a point guard, I got to make sure all my other people are starting. Sometimes it calls for that. Sometimes it calls for you get 10 shots up in that first quarter. You get to the line six times in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's what it calls for. And you can't always treat every game the same.
If everything
situation the same.
If everything stays the same as far as his numbers and how he's been playing, Monty makes a couple moves and they start winning again. Are we talking about Fox being that guy? Because I wonder how much of him hitting that next level was honestly in his control at this point. Like Fox, he's not Tatum or anything like Luka right now, but I wonder how much of it is just you get him some solid consistent bench guys. Now the conversation just completely flips. Turn around. Like Tatum wasn't a winner or whatever until he won the finals. Now it's Tatum this, Tatum that. Like how much of it is literally just winning?
So you talk about making moves and like getting some guys around him and maybe that elevates like De'Aaron a little bit. I think there are multiple it's a personality mindset, right? Where if you have a team around you who is like, I don't want to say failing, but like struggling. Day one, I got this. All right, come on. It's all right. My team's struggling. We'll get them where we got to go. We fell short. Okay. Team struggles again. Same situation. Team struggles again. All right. I think I got this. I got this. Fell short again. Third time, team struggles. Come on, man. Yup. Can y'all do something? I think there's a certain level of like, again? Y'all need me to do this again?
Like he did score 60 in the game and they lost.
Right. That's what I mean. And he says like, the ideal situation is Anthony Davis. God, I keep doing that. Anthony Edwards misses the three. I hit the walk off when we win. But that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a certain idea to where people can get worn down by the people around them. Mm-hmm. We want the leader to, every time his team is down, to go, that's all right. That's all right. I got this. And we say, oh, well, Kobe can do it. Yes, Kobe. Well, Mike can do it. Yes, Mike. There's like five guys in the history of professional basketball that we reference doing that. Mm-hmm. But we equate it as to, well, that's what a leader is. No, that's what someone who is the greatest to ever do what they do does. Mike. LeBron, Kobe, Magic, Wilt, those players, when you get to the top 10 players that have ever played the game, that's a characteristic that they have. That's not a characteristic that Luka Doncic necessarily has. The difference between him and De'Aaron is Luka might be able to do it more than De'Aaron. Or Luka's got a higher level of talent. And what Luka has that I don't think De'Aaron does is a full level of FU. Kyrie, your ass. I'll do it. Mm-hmm. PJ, you suck. I'll do it. Jason Kidd, you're awful. I'll handle it myself. I don't think De'Aaron is wired at that. Most days, that's a good thing. Right. But there are, in my opinion, there are some in-game situations where that's not a good thing. There are times in the last 2 years where De'Aaron should have... Hey, come here. Domas, miss one more basket at the rim. Mm-hmm. Get four rebounds before you put the ball in the basket again. Because if you do, that's the last goddamn time you're touching the ball. That's a characteristic that I think some of these other guys have. It's why Shea's baffling, because I don't think that's Shea. That's why I think Shea is one of the most unique, if not the most unique superstar in the entire league, because I don't think he carries any of these characteristics. He's just really, really good. And to Jesse's point, though, he's got a really good team around him where everyone knows their role. And back to the original question I asked you, I believe they have a singular objective this season.
100%. 100%.